Obnovuj si svobodu ti. Obnovuj si svi si guru goranga. Nitai gur premanandi haririmo. Nama om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tanamaya. Namaste Saraswati Devi Guru Vanu Pachara Nena Dasaya Sursani Vali Pachkati Devi Tanamaya. Om Agyavita Miranda Sya Jana Jana Salataya. Chaksu Sumila Chan Jaina Tasmai Sri Guru Vinma. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Upakadamayam Nidati Sarkata. Manja Kopatyubhyas Cha Kripas Bhaiva Cha Patitya Prabhanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Tamo Namo Namah. We're nearing the end of the 13th chapter of the 10th canto, in which Brahma has tested Krishna and stolen away the boys and the cows, and he had such a deep realization. He realized his insignificance. And this is one of the greatest realizations one can have. If one realizes one's insignificance and realizes Krishna's significance, Krishna's greatness, then that, and surrenders to Krishna, understanding his position as Krishna's servant, that is called humility. And if one realizes one's helplessness and insignificance and just thinks about how bad one is all the time, if one is always thinking about how insignificant I am and have this problem and that problem, that is not called humility, that is called mental disease, mental disorder. But to think about Krishna, understanding one's insignificance and fallen condition, is glorious, because then one can truly take shelter of Krishna and one can truly kirtaniya sadahari, chant Krishna's names continuously. So Brahma understood his insignificance, even though he was the most powerful person in this material universe. He realized his insignificance. And at the end of this chapter, as we're moving to the end, the causes of his realizing his insignificance, and then when he opens his eyes after being stunned and shocked by what he saw, he got a glimpse of the power of Krishna. And one can only get a glimpse of the power of Krishna, understand a small part about the power of Krishna. And actually, one never understands anything about the power of Krishna, but what one does understand is how tiny and insignificant one is when seeing just this small portion, mamo angsa tejo sambhava. Brahma saw more than that. But by seeing just a little bit of Krishna's power, then one realizes naturally whatever we have, whatever power, potency, ability we have, is almost non-existent. It's so insignificant. So then, and he is the greatest person in this universe, and then there's something in Nyaya, a logic called Kamutya Nyaya, which means what to speak of us who are truly insignificant in this, even in this universe. But yet, due to the mercy of Maya, we all are thinking ourselves very significant and very important. So, what is going to be interesting is that when one, or not that this isn't interesting, but when this significant person in this universe who understands his own insignificance in relationship to Krishna, when he begins to do kirtan, his kirtaniya sadahari, because Mahaprabhu has said, trinadapi sunichena, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So one can always chant when one feels oneself very humble. So Brahma is going to chant, he's going to do kirtan of his own making, out of his pure heart is spontaneously going to come kirtan, glorification of Krishna, in the form of prayers. And he will explain so many deep topic with those prayers. And Krishna willing, at the beginning of next week, we will begin those prayers. Very important. When the most intelligent, when the most significant person in the universe realizes his insignificance, his descriptions of the most significant of Krishna are very significant. They are very important, they are very deep, they are very powerful, and they teach us so much. But now we are not quite ready to hear that. We're ready to hear when Brahma glimpses Krishna's power, he is shocked, he is stunned, he cannot move. And then he falls to the ground, then he stands up and he opens his eyes and he doesn't see Krishna's power as he saw it before. What he sees is the land of Vrindavan. And he sees Krishna standing there in the land of Vrindavan. So we'll start by reading text 60. And it's very interesting, this purport too. Yatra nasarga dovara sahasan nri mrighadaya mitra mitrani va jitavasa druta rut takshakandikam. Vrindavan, this is what he sees. Sukadev Goswami is going to describe what he sees. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord. What does that mean? Okay, that's Krishna's home. And what did, when we were speaking about home, was that yesterday we were speaking about home? No. Yes. Yes? No? No.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. What did we say about home? Okay.
You can
just relax and be yourself. So that is what Krishna is like in Vrindavan. He's just relaxed and acting just how he wants to act. And how does he want to act? He wants to exchange love with his dearmost devotees who love him in a very special way. But so Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord. And this is where Krishna actually lives. But what other word is there? Is Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord. This is Krishna's abode, his home. But what other word is there?
Transcendental.
Transcendental. So what does that mean? Okay, that's one aspect of transcendental.
No, this world.
It has nothing to do with this world.
Spiritual.
It is spiritual. It is not material. The forces, the energies, the gunas that control this world do not control that world. Just like in the prison house, the guards control the prison house. But the guards of the prison house, they don't have power outside of the prison house. So similarly, the three modes of material nature, Rajagun, Tamagun, and Sattvagun, they don't control the spiritual world. There's a different energy. Tribir Gunamayir Bhavar. The three modes of material nature are the controlling factors of this world. But what is the controlling factor of the spiritual world?
Love.
Yeah, there's the prema bhakti of the devotees of Krishna. And then acting to satisfy Krishna's desire to satisfy his devotees, and the devotees' desire is to serve Krishna, please Krishna, then the internal energy, yogamaya, the antaranga shakti of Krishna, yogamaya, works or acts to set up situations where Krishna's devotees have their desires fulfilled to serve Krishna. This is the land of love. This is the land of prema. This is the land of Vrindavan. So Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord. So everything that happens in Vrindavan is reality. And this world is a reflection of that reality. So even though this world seems to be quite similar to Vrindavan, the goings-on of this world seem to be quite similar to Vrindavan, it is not at all actually like Vrindavan. Just like the mirror reflection, the image reflected in the mirror, seems to be just like the actual object. When you put a mango next to a mirror, the reflection of the mango seems to be just like the mango, but actually it's just a shadow, a reflection. Pratibimba. Chai. What's going on? It's alive. Is it alive?
It was.
It was alive. But it wasn't alive. But there was life behind it. You just cut off the life. A little bit. So we always keep in mind that Vrindavan may appear to be like this world, and the dealings in Vrindavan appear to be like the dealings in this world, but actually the dealings of Vrindavan have nothing to do with the dealings of this world. The engine that is driving the dealings in this world is exactly the opposite of the engine that's driving the dealings in the spiritual world. What engine drives the dealings in the spiritual world? Sounds like there's a duck in the background. There are ducks in Vrindavan. It's true. What did I just say? Does anyone remember?
Black.
No, that's what the... Something said.
That's the engine driving.
The engine that drives, the motivating force that drives the spiritual world is different than the motivating force that drives this world. Now, what's the motivating force, did we say, that drives the spiritual world?
Love.
It's prema, prema bhakti. And what is the motivating force that drives this world? Let's see. Atma Indriya, Priti, and Karma Indriya. To satisfy one's own self. Selfishness is the force that drives this world. Exactly the opposite of love. So Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, what does inimical mean? Our envious are always fighting. Although naturally inimical, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. So this, sometimes you make a statement, like Vrindavan is transcendental. So what is the difference between transcendental and mundane or ordinary? What is the difference between the mirror reflection and the actual mango? They look the same, but what is the difference? So the mango has actual taste, and if any of you have ever tried to eat a mango in a mirror, you will find out very quickly it tastes just like glass. Not very tasty at all. So what's the difference? So that's an example. The taste of a mango and the taste of glass. So what's an example of the difference between Goloka Vrindavan and the material world? Well, here. Human beings And fierce animals are naturally inimical to each other. They are naturally antagonistic to each other. They're naturally enemies. When a fierce animal sees a human being, they will either attack or run, because they know that more fierce than they are is the human being, more dangerous. But there in Vrindavan, so there is enmity, and Prabhupada would sometimes call it envy, actually. There is envy of one living entity and another. Sometimes we just, you see some innocent creatures or some birds, or and naturally we'll throw rocks at them or something. Did you ever do that? No more, okay? Especially at the tigers in South Kenya. Don't throw rocks at the tigers anymore. But why do people do that? What does that have to do with envy? It has to do with envy means that you cannot live in a natural way than you. I'm taking away. I want to interfere with your natural right to just live. I'm envious of the fact that you're living, practically speaking. And sometimes people just, they'll see a fly and then they see it and just kill it. Did you ever do that? Killing for no reason. But once, or an ant, a little ant just walking around. And then, katamoya. Finished. Why? Okay, we don't like them being in the house. Okay, but maybe they don't like us being in their house. Or they're thinking that it's their house. Just for no reason. There's envy in the heart. How dare you be in my house? Don't you know who I am? And actually, as we were saying, that spiritual realization means, who am I? I'm just an insignificant soul who's actually, the soul is different, the body is different, but the soul is not different. The life is not different. The life force is not different from the life force in an ant or a fly. So although naturally inimical, antagonistic, angry at each other, enemies, there's still, and the cause of this is envy. In Vrindavan, both human beings and fierce animals live there together in transcendental friendship. Now listen to Prabhupada's purport. The word vana means forest. We are afraid of the forest, so usually we would think in terms of a jungle. And we fear being alone in a jungle. Why? Has anyone ever been to the remote Nepali jungles above Gorakhpur? Even Raj hasn't gone there yet. But why is... So why is Prabhupada saying we are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there? Why?
Something
yeah, what kind of things can happen to you in a jungle or a forest that's actually a forest? What kind of things that can happen?
While you're sleeping, then an animal might come.
A fierce animal and eat you. Or what else?
Spiders, snakes.
Yes, spiders and snakes. And also, there could be wild human beings there. In parts of when you sometimes you can read how the first Western explorers, they would go explore Africa or someplace like that, and they would be attacked by so many tribes of just because they were walking through their land or something, and sometimes they would even capture them. And Prabhupada, I even heard Prabhupada say this in a lecture, that he said in some of these places they are fond of eating people. And he said, especially white people. That's what he said. and he just laughed when he said it. But so everyone is afraid. We are afraid of the forest and do not wish to go there. But in Vrindavan, the forest animals are as good as demigods, for they have no envy. Even in this material world, in the forest, the animals live together. And when they go to drink water, they do not attack anyone. Did you know that? No. Yeah, it's like very peaceful near the water, unless the animals are really, really, really starving. When they go near the water, they don't attack the other animals. So you can see tigers or lions and elephants that both go to the watering place in Africa and they drink. Envy develops because of two words. What are the next two words?
Selfishness.
Yes, but the manifestation.
False ego.
Yes, the manifestation of selfishness and false ego is sense gratification. I want to enjoy this. And you have something that I could enjoy. And who is everything meant for the enjoyment of? It is me, selfishness and false ego. Everything is meant for my enjoyment, and you have something that I could enjoy. And that, the feeling that comes to the heart, is envy. If someone has something that I think I can enjoy, and I am the one who really should enjoy everything, that intense selfishness, envy comes to the heart. And Narottama Das Thakur, he says, trying to live with envy in the heart, with envy, is like having a spear in the heart, a javelin, a spear. Can you be happy if you have a spear in your heart? No, obviously. Can you be happy if you're envious? No, because you'll always find someone who has something more than you. You'll always find someone who has something that you don't have and you would like to enjoy. So can you be happy if you're envious? No. Can you be happy? So if your whole idea of life is looking for sense gratification, looking to enjoy what you can see and touch and this and that, then you cannot be happy. Because so even though a materialistic person, the most wealthy person, he comes to the big parties with a beautiful wife and a big car, and he's got his helicopter that drops him at the car, and then he gets in his car. When Jagtrini Mataji and I and my son, we went to the Hutt River province, which is it's the most amazing. Have you been there? Have you ever been there? No? Well, there's one part of Australia, a person had a big farm. And this was many years ago, in 1970 or so. And the government was giving him trouble on something. And he, legally, he was an expert on Australian constitutional law, and he found some loophole in the law, and he succeeded from Australia and established his own country. This is in Western Australia, near Kalbarri. And they went through so many different things, and of course the Australian government wouldn't acknowledge it, but he did it legally. So they were about to bring him to court. So then he looked through the constitution, he found another law that said you cannot bring royalty to court. So his name was Leonard, so then he became Prince Leonard. So they couldn't bring him to court. And then after his province was its 50th year anniversary, he wrote a letter to the Governor General of Australia, inviting him to come to the celebrations. And the secretary wrote back, you know, dear Prince Leonard of Hutt River Province. I'm sorry, the Governor General is too busy to attend, but he thanks you for your invitation. He looked and found another law that says once you get a letter acknowledging that you're the prince of some place or you're the independent country, then it's legal, something like that. So anyway, we went to visit him. And he's a funny man, very, very sharp, but an Australian farmer, basically. And he had a white Rolls Royce there, but it looked like it hadn't been used. So I asked him, "Do you ever drive that Rolls Royce? Do you ever drive it?" And he said, "When you have a Rolls Royce, you never drive it yourself." Right? Of course. You have to be sitting in the back. So in any case, I can't remember, there must have been some point of telling that story. Envy develops because of sense gratification. But in Vrindavan, there is no sense gratification. That's the difference between the material world and Vrindavan, why Vrindavan is transcendental.
Everyone's trying to serve Krishna.
Exactly, that's the next thing. For the only aim is Krishna's satisfaction. So when one has that consciousness, that's called Krishna consciousness. When one only desires Krishna's satisfaction, and that naturally is there, we can't say, from now on, I'm not going to desire any sense gratification. And from now on, I'm only going to desire Krishna's pleasure. If we are not pure-hearted and if we have no love for Krishna, then it's not an intellectual adjustment or a mental adjustment we can make. But we should know this is the goal and we should take steps to achieve that goal. And that is the process of sadhana bhakti. That brings us, has us turn towards Krishna in love. So, not that, because now if I say I'm not going to have any sense gratification, it's like, oh, I'm not supposed to have sense gratification, I'm not supposed to have sense gratification, I'm not supposed to have sense. So what am I thinking about all the time? Sense gratification of one form or another. But when there's love for Krishna, what is one naturally, spontaneously thinking about all the time? It's how to please Krishna. If you go into the office of so many big, big businessmen, what do they have on their desk always?
Family, loved ones.
Yeah, you've seen that. Yeah. Have you ever seen that, Raj?
What do they have, sorry?
Photographs.
Oh, yeah.
Of the people who they're doing it for on one level, their family, their always, because they have love for them, and that's what's the engine that's driving their austerities of fighting it out in the material world to gain so much wealth. So in Vrindavan, the engine that is driving everyone's activities is Krishna, their love for Krishna. Not Krishna, but their love for Krishna. And in the material world, the engine that's driving everyone's activities is selfishness in one form or another. So, envy develops because of sense gratification, but in Vrindavan there is no sense gratification, but there is no force. You're not allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do that, you're not allowed to do that. It is all spontaneous because of everyone's natural and spontaneous love for Krishna. What do you think about that? What do you think?
I'd like to admit that.
Tendency is to think, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I'd like to develop that. It's much better. There's such a, when one's heart is full of love, even in this world, there is such happiness in the heart. what to speak of if there's a transcendental love for Krishna, which is the natural position of the soul in relationship to Krishna. And when one's heart has no love in it, one has not received love or gives love, so there's no affection in the heart, then one's heart is dry and hard. And one becomes envious of everyone who has anything that gives them some pleasure, because the dry and hard heart receives no pleasure. It's empty. Now listen to what Prabhupada says here. Even in this material world, so Prabhupada had been speaking about Goloka Vrindavan. So what quality of Goloka Vrindavan did he mention?
Selfless service.
What else?
Everyone trying to please Krishna.
Everyone wants to please Krishna. Everyone in Vrindavan loves Krishna. Spontaneously, naturally. You can't get a visa unless you have that. That is the qualification. You can't get in. Even if you want to get in, you can't get in. No visa. You have to stay here. So that in the spiritual world, so Prabhupada says, even in this material world, the animals in Vrindavan are not envious of the sadhus who live there. The sadhus keep cows and supply milk to the tigers, saying, come here and take a little milk. Thus envy and malice. What's the difference between envy and malice? Malice means like envy, but what does malice mean? It really, you wish ill. You wish the other person harm. Envy is a little closer to jealousy. There's jealousy, envy, and malice. There's three different gradations, from bad to worse to the most worse. Malice, malicious behavior. You wish ill for someone. You wish harm to someone, even if they don't even, they've never seen you before. But just by seeing them, you want to harm them. That's a malicious mind, so unhappy. So in envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan. What do you think of that? No politics. No sense gratification. There is sense gratification, but everyone's interest is to please Krishna's senses. Rishikena, Rishikesha, Sevanam. Bhakti. This is bhakti. When everyone's spontaneous and natural interest is to please Krishna, that is the natural position of the soul. And here in the land of reflection, in the land of mirrors, everyone is thinking that, oh, I'm not getting enough. And only if only I had this, then I would be satisfied. If only I had that, I would be satisfied. If only. And that goes on forever, practically speaking, in the material world. I imagine, oh, if only this person had something, if I had that. And then in our next life, we can have that. And then in our next life, we can have something else. And the next life, we can have something else. Prabhupada told the story of one very, very wealthy man named, who at the time of the Indian independence movement, his name was C.R. Das. Anyone ever hear of him? And he was very, very wealthy. But he wasn't happy. One reason you're not happy when you're wealthy is because everyone is so envious of you. And everyone smiles at you in front of you, but everyone is wishing you harm. Behind your back. I'm better than him. Why does he have that? Why is he enjoying that? Why am I not? Don't I have that? On and on and on. The mind is so wicked. Bring a pillow. That cushion is sitting on the hot floor. No. We've neglected you already, so now we can't neglect you. So the sadhus keep cows and supply milk to the tigers. They're not envious of the tigers, because they see Vidyavinaya Sampane Ramani Gavi Hastini Sunni Chavasupakita Pandita Samadarsana. They see that this is not a tiger. Of course, you can't go and offer your obeisances to him. No, we can't anyway. But they see there's a soul. We have to act practically, but there's a soul. Krishna's in his heart, and he's in a tiger's body. Come here and take a little milk. Thus, envy and malice are unknown in Vrindavan. That is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. So, do we like to be in a world that's filled with envy and malice? Well, then, do we like to be in a world where the basic principle is sense gratification? Because I want to enjoy it, but I don't like the result of it. Here's the problem. There's a saying, I want, an English expression, I want to have my cake and eat it too. I want to have it, but eat it. I want to enjoy it, but I want it to be there. You can't have both. If you want the heads of the coin, you have to take the tails of the coin. If you want the sense gratification, you have to fight with all the envious people and malicious people. To be in a place where everyone is envious and malicious, very difficult. Very painful for a gentleman. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, used to say, this material world is not the place, a place for a gentleman or a gentle lady. It's actually because it's very painful to deal with what goes on. And what happens when you deal with people, when you're young and innocent and you go into the material world where everyone is envious and malicious, what do?
You also become like that because for self-protection.
It's a cruel world. You have to hit them before they hit you. That is the difference between Vrindavan and the ordinary world. We are horrified to hear the name of Van, or Vrindavan, the jungle. But in Vrindavan, there is no such horror. Everyone there is happy by pleasing Krishna. There is no envy. Everyone is united in this one central point, that Krishna is the center. I am not the center. This one, my child isn't the center, my parents aren't the center, my country isn't the center, my community isn't the center. It is Krishna who is the center, and it is Krishna who is to be pleased. That is called Krishna consciousness. And therefore, everyone is happy by pleasing Krishna. Krishna kirtanagana natana paro. Whether a Goswami or a tiger or other ferocious animal, everyone's business is the same, to please Krishna. Even the tigers are also devotees. This is the specific qualification of Vrindavan. Everyone, everything is devoted to Krishna. Otherwise they can't be there. And therefore, even if we go to the Vrindavan today, that has so many plastic bags everywhere, and everyone, you walk around Govardhan Hill and everyone they're taking pan, and then they just throw the wrappers and throwing everything everywhere, and but still there is such a sweetness that comes through, filters through, that you cannot experience anywhere else. There's the covering of a thin covering of a veil of the material energy, but there's a sweetness there that cannot be experienced anywhere else. And everyone, and Prabhupada says that even when a non-devotee goes to Vrindavan, they experience a missing for Krishna, a feeling of separation for Krishna. So powerful Vrindavan is. Raise your hand if you've been to Vrindavan. Raise your hand if you really like Vrindavan. Everyone who's been. Raise your hand if You would like to go to Vrindavan right now. Yes. There's no one here who's not been to Vrindavan in this room. Yes. Special group of devotees. This is a specific qualification of Vrindavan, that everyone is a devotee, even the tigers. In Vrindavan, everyone is happy. The calf is happy. The cat is happy. The dog is happy. The man is happy. Everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity. And thus, there is no envy. No one is thinking that why don't I have that? If there's something wonderful they see, they think, oh, this will be so wonderful for Krishna. It's a matter of consciousness, Krishna consciousness. And it's natural and spontaneous with no force in Vrindavan, because you can't go there unless you have that consciousness. And it is not a sentiment. Sentiment means something superficial. The mind has its sentiments. Sometimes it has a sentiment towards this, and sometimes it has a sentiment for that. Sometimes the mind likes this thing, and then 5 seconds later it could hate the same thing. It just boom, boom. This is the nature of the material mind. But the soul's sentiment is different. And this is the soul's blossoming of his relationship with Krishna. And it doesn't shift. It is fixed and spontaneous and full of attachment. The calf is happy. The cat is happy. The dog is happy. The man is happy. Everyone. Everyone wants to serve Krishna in a different capacity. And thus, there is no envy. And every soul is an individual. That means that every soul has its unique offering, special offering to make to Krishna, that no other soul can give. It's so wonderful. One may sometimes think that the monkeys in Vrindavan are envious because they cause mischief and steal food. And not only do they steal food, they sometimes steal
glasses,
and sometimes
garlands,
and sometimes shoes, and sometimes anything.
Toothpaste.
I've never seen a monkey brushing his teeth though.
Spread it all over the wolf.
Maybe this is a complaint from the monkey bureau over there. Society for stopping of criticizing of Vrindavan monkeys. And in Radhika, the monkeys, even the little ones, they think they're so bold. You know, little monkeys, they look at you. No, you're big and they're little. But because they cause mischief and steal food. But in Vrindavan we find that the monkeys are allowed to take butter, which Krishna himself distributes. So Prabhupada is playing. He's talking on different levels, it seems. Krishna himself distributes butter to the monkeys. And sometimes he says, this butter is useless. Because he feeds the butter. The monkeys eat so much butter that they're full and they won't eat anymore. And then Krishna says, this butter is useless. Even the monkeys don't want it. And he takes the pot and breaks it. And then he walks with his lotus feet through the butter and yogurt. And then Mother Yashoda comes and sees his footprints through the yogurt. Krishna personally demonstrates that everyone has the right to live. This is Vrindavan life. Why should I live and you die? No, that is material life. The inhabitants of Vrindavan think, whatever is given by Krishna, let us divide it as prasad and eat. This mentality cannot appear all of a sudden, but it will gradually develop with Krishna consciousness. By sadhana, one can come to this platform. Why should I die and you live? This is the open-heartedness of a Vaishnava, the magnanimity, the givingness, the openness. I remember when I first started chanting, it was in New York by the university that I was going to. And one of my first services was we would cook the Sunday feast, but there were no devotees really. So Rupa Nuga Prabhu, the devotee who taught me, introduced me to Srila Prabhupada, he said that my service was to go out and in the street call out, if anyone is hungry, they should come and eat. Now this makes sense in India. Of course in India you would there'd be thousands. But in New York it was most unique. Because people are thinking, why is he saying this? What does he put in the food? You know, what is he poison food? People would look at you as if you were totem pogo. How do you say cheesy? How do you say in
cheesy?
Yeah, same. Cheesy. Cheesin or cheesy?
Cheesy.
Cheesy. Cheesin. Same meaning. I mean, literally, it means crossed wires, I think, in Chinese. Sometimes they say fused. The brain is fused, like a light bulb. So the mentality, the open-heartedness, because that happens when one is satisfied, starts to overflow, and that's what Mahaprabhu's mood was. He was overflowing with so much love for Krishna that it was manifest in distributing. So in today's Vrindavan, you see people distribute prasadam, but what you really see that is in at Govindaji temple in Jaipur, that when the devotees, they buy Mahaprasadam and then they distribute to everyone. They distribute. That's the mood there. And it's so sweet. It's so sweet. In the material world, one may collect funds all over the world in order to distribute food freely. Yet those to whom the food is given may not even feel appreciative. The value of Krishna consciousness, however, because it really opens the heart, will gradually be very much appreciated. Now, here's what Prabhupada says, that he was so proud that his Krishna consciousness movement was becoming appreciated. For instance, in an article about the temple of the Hare Krishna movement in Durban, South Africa, the Durban Post reported, all the devotees here are very active in the service of Lord Krishna, and the results are obvious to see. Happiness, good health, peace of mind, and the development of all good qualities. So Prabhupada wanted, he felt so much encouraged when Krishna consciousness was taken, eaten, digested, and appreciated and distributed. This is the nature of Vrindavan. Harava bhaktasya kuto mahaguna. Without Krishna consciousness, happiness is impossible. One may struggle, but one cannot have happiness. We are therefore trying to give human society the opportunity for a life of happiness, good health, peace of mind, and all good qualities through God consciousness. What a wonderful verse and what a wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. Okay, what do you remember from something that we read in the verse or in the purport? Raise your hand if you remember something. Yes, first person.
Vrindavan was not envy.
There is no envy, thank you. Yes?
Enviousness arises from Sanskrit creation.
Yes.
Vrindavan, everyone just wants to please Krishna.
Thank you. You can say it. It's all right.
Everyone was pleased to expand their knowledge. And he used to give butter to all the monkeys, steal butter and distribute to the monkeys around him.
And everyone is happy then.
And everyone is happy in Vrindavan. Why are they happy? Because there's no envy, there's no malice, no one's envious of you, you're not envious. Everyone's satisfied.
Vrindavan is sweet. And the tree is also mentioned that why it's sweet is because it's not a different color than Mahapranarayan.
Yes, anyone? Yes.
In Vrindavan, a sadhu will keep a cow. And he'll take the milk from the cow, and with that milk, he'll feed a tiger.
If you are not a high level sadhu, we don't recommend you trying this. Anyone else remember anything?
Even while doing parikrama, you know, or going past. And Giriraj, even though people throw so many things around, but it is still so sweet over there, just between Vrindavan and Giriraj.
Yeah, yes. So sweet. Yes.
An example was quoted about the mango in the reflection. It won't taste as a real mango. Which in reference to material world, with dealings in Vrindavan in material world are a reflection of spiritual.
That they seem like the real thing, but when you try to enjoy it, you taste like ashes or glass, or it doesn't taste like the real thing. Anyone remember anything else?
You now drive your own Rolls Royce.
Your own Rolls Royce. Okay, now you have to explain why, because I couldn't remember that. There was some connection to Krishna consciousness in there somewhere. But why? Why don't you drive your own Rolls Royce?
If you can afford a Rolls Royce, you can afford a driver also.
You must have a driver, otherwise it doesn't make any sense. And there's another thing. If you see a Rolls Royce and ask, and you want to buy it, but then ask, how much does it cost? If you have to ask that question, it means you'll never be able to afford it. Anyone else remember anything? Yes, Jimmy.
Love for Krishna, which is a driving factor in Sri Vrindavan Dham, is spontaneous and it's not forced. Everyone loves Krishna naturally, spontaneously.
And in the reflection of this world, in this world, everyone spontaneously is selfish and envious and interested in sense. It's not forced. it's natural and spontaneous.
In Vrindavan, everyone has a unique service to the Lord, which no one else can give.
Because we're individuals. Everyone has a unique relationship. Like when the Calvert boys, we were speaking about at the beginning, they were sitting in a circle, and Krishna was looking at everyone. He had, glancing at everyone, he had a relationship with every single one of them. And everyone, and he didn't have his back to any of them, even though they were sitting in a circle, because Krishna, he can be the center, we can't be the center. If I'm facing one person, I won't be facing another person, and if there's someone behind me, I'll have my back to him. So I can't satisfy everyone. It's Krishna who can satisfy everyone. Anyone else remember anything? Yes.
According to Narottama Thakur, envy is like a spear in the heart.
Envy is like a spear in the heart. Can you be happy if you have a spear in your heart? All you feel is pain. Okay, last.
Brahma, being the most intelligent person, still could see the form, his form of Vishnu coming out of a little boy. And he had
after a while he was very happy and was in ecstasy and started singing.
His kirtan and the prayers that he's going to sing in Krishna willing will begin at some point. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Dham ki
jai.
Lord Brahma ki
jai.
Sri Krishna ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Bhaktivinoda ki
jai.